you can change your life by changing your thoughts. You can change your life by changing your thoughts. You can make a difference in how you live by what you think about. I wanted to share with you just a few scriptures that I believe teach that. And then at the end, I want to share with you a personal experience on how that's done in a practical way. The first thing I want to share with you is Proverbs 23:7. The first part of that verse says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." Now, if you would go back and read that proverb, you realize that he's talking about somebody that's putting on a show. He's talking about somebody who's acting like he's your friend. And he's feeding you. But he's really your enemy. And Solomon says, it's not so much what he does outwardly, it's who he is within here. As he thinks within himself, so he is. So sometimes people say you are what you eat. And there's some truth in that, isn't it? There's some truth in that. You are what you eat. I'm steak and baked potato, if you want to know. But anyway. and some of you think the desserts is the problem. The desserts is not the problem for me. It's the breads. Love the breads. The desserts I could do without. But can't do without the bread. but, you know, the Bible doesn't say you are what you eat. I think this verse teaches you are what you think. You are what you think. I believe also that you will become what you think about. I told somebody that one time and they said, and he said, I know that's not true because when I was a teenager, all I thought about was girls and I didn't ever become a girl. but you become what you think about. As he thinks within himself, so he is. I've often been challenged in my own life and two or three times have suggested what would happen if I could have recorded every thought you had during the last 168 hours. If I could have recorded every thought you had during the last 168 hours. How long is that, by the way? 1 week. It started last Sunday, 12 o'clock, and I could have recorded every thought you had. Not what you said, not what you did. What did you think? And could record that. If I could have done that, would you give me permission to play it? Just bring the recording up here and push the button. And we listen to what you thought about during the last week. Would there be thoughts of hatred? Would there be thoughts of lust? Would there be thoughts of forgiveness? Would there be thoughts of love? Would there be thoughts of malice? What did you think about during the last week? The Bible says, you are what you think. What are you? And that's kind of like the bad news. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is that you can transform yourself by changing your thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? Tell me the scripture. "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." But what I want you to notice is, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but you can be transformed. You can be changed. Anybody know what that Greek word is? What is it? What is it? Okay, metamorphosis, which is implication of what a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. I can change myself completely by renewing my thinking. by renewing my mind. This is the way God changes us. Now, let me give you a little hint. Sometimes we get caught into the trap of saying, okay, that's a bad thought, so I'm not going to think that thought anymore. Somebody tell me my illustration. The illustration I'm going to use in a few minutes. Don't think about an elephant. So what happens when I say don't think about an elephant? You think about an elephant. So what happens to you when you say this is a bad thought? This is a thought of hatred or lust or whatever. I want to stop that, so I'm not going to think about that. What happens to me? I think about that because I decided not to think about that. What you have to do is to replace it. So now I'm going to say, think about your favorite car. Now what's happening? You're thinking about the elephant and the car and the elephant and the car and the elephant. But if you try to just stop thinking about the elephant, it'll never work. If you concentrate on the car, you can eventually get rid of the elephant. Wouldn't happen immediately, but it will happen. You just think about the car. So you have to replace what you think about. That's the reason that Bible study and prayer and church attendance and getting together with other Christians and all that stuff is so important to the Christian. The whole world is trying to get you to think about sinful things. I've often said, I believe that if by some miracle we could resurrect a Christian who died 50 years ago, a good Christian, he died 50 years ago, if we could resurrect him and bring him back and let him sit in our living room and look at our television, I believe he'd die again. I just think he would say, I cannot believe what you are allowing in your house. Not only are you allowing it to be here, you are paying for it to be here. And I'm not even talking about the programs, I'm talking about the advertisements. I mean, you know, just it is just so much stuff that are as anti-Christian that is wrong. And what happens to it when I sit down and listen at it? What happens to it? It gets in my mind. If it is true, I become what I think about. And I'm thinking about that junk, then what do I become? Junk. Very sinful. When they first came out with computers, it used to be a term, gigo or something like that. Garbage in, garbage out. And your mind is the greatest computer that's ever been done. So we put all this junk in there, and then we expect good stuff to come out. You have to intentionally, on purpose, program yourself to think about godly thoughts. I try to get you to read the Bible. You say, I don't understand why I need to read the Bible. Why do we need to read the Bible every year? I read it last year. I don't need to read it again this year. Besides that, some of it is boring. And it is. I'm in Leviticus right now in my Bible reading. So some of it is boring. No question about that. But the fact of it is, most of the stuff that the world seems to want to put in my mind is sinful. And everybody wants to control you. College professors want to control you. The news media wants to control you. I get a little upset sometimes hearing about the news media saying they are being objective. I think it's impossible for a news media to be objective. I don't think that's possible. Because the fact of it is, just making a choice of what I'm going to report on is subjective. There's no way anybody can tell everything that happened, is there? So I choose to do this story, not this story. I choose that because that's what I wanted to tell. See, I don't listen to Paul Harvey anymore. I can't find him on the radio, but I used to listen to him. And I liked a big part of it because he said this is his news and commentary. In other words, he admitted up front, I'm giving you my opinion about what's happening. And I think that's more honest. Because I think the whole world is trying to get you to change your thinking, because if they change your thinking, they change you. Because the way you are transformed, the way you are changed, is by the renewing of your mind. The command is, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Tell me again, how do I do that? By the renewing of your mind. That's when you ought to read the Bible. That's when you ought to pray. That's when you ought to come to Bible school. That's when you ought to come to church. That's when you ought to get together with other Christians. That's when you ought to talk to Christians. That's the reason you ought to be very, very careful of what you look at on TV. That's when you ought to be very, very careful about what you read. All that stuff. Years ago, I used to have a little card that I gave out called Christian Programming. Any of you remember that? The whole purpose was to get you to think about godly things. That's the whole purpose. And for several years I gave them out to people who said, you need to give me something else. I don't read this one so much. I want something new. but they help you to think about the right things. Because what you think about you will become, and what you think about can change you to become what God wants you to become. Then the next thing I want you to notice is Romans 8 basically just says, doesn't say that you should do this. It just says, just reports on the facts. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is, the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Don't want you to answer it loud, but I want you to think about, what does it mean to have my mind set? The mind set on the flesh is flesh. The mind set on the Spirit is Spirit. What does it mean to have my mind set? As I like to say, if I was to see somebody with a mind set on the Spirit, what would it look like? What would that appear to me? If somebody who's a spiritual person and has his mind set on the Spirit. The Bible says my mind set on the flesh leads to death. The mind set on the Spirit leads to life and peace. Because I become what I think about. I become what I think about. And therefore, I need to control my thoughts. And I can control my thoughts. Now, I cannot sit down and look at all these filthy TV programs for hour after hour after hour after hour after hour and then give 10 minutes to the Lord's Word and think I'm going to control it. That's not the way to control it. By the way, I'm not against TV. I look at TV myself. I just think we need to be very, very careful on what we allow in, because what we allow in is what comes out in our life. I think it's always been true that Satan's in control of all that junk that comes in from the world. In fact, what bothers me as a fallen human, that stuff is easier than thinking on spiritual things. I grew up, spent a lot of my time in my dad's little country store and beer joint, and you know how much easier it is to remember a dirty joke than it is to memorize a Bible verse? I don't have to go over the dirty joke over and over and over and over and over and over again so I remember it. You just remember it. You remember when you don't want to remember it. What do I have to do to put the spiritual things there? How do I memorize the verses? For most of us, we have to go over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then when we get it memorized, we get 60 years old and can't remember it anymore. You know, I got a Bible in which I've marked all the verses I memorized over the years. Got them marked in these Bibles. And look back through that. I don't remember that verse. They go away as you get older. And I shared that one time with somebody, and they said, don't worry about it because it cleans it as it goes through. So it does some good to try it in a way. You can be transformed by the changing your mind. And if you are a spiritual person, you think about spiritual things. If you are a fleshly person, you think about fleshly things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. two parts of that command. What part is it? I am to set my mind on what? Heavenly things. I am not to set my mind on earthly things. Just reading that verse, is it a suggestion or a command? It is a command that Christians need to set your mind on heavenly things. And it is not easy to do that. It is much easier to sit at home and get in my recliner and look at that junk on TV than it is to get up and come to church on Sunday morning, isn't it? It is much easier to listen at some of the music that we listen at. And I like country music, by the way, and that's the only pure music. I mean, it's some of the sorest junk you ever heard, isn't it? And it's not just country music. It's rock music and pop music and blues music and all that kind of, all of it. You have to be very, very careful, because when you put music to it, then that makes it stick even better. So you have to be very, very careful of what you allow in. Set your mind on the things above, and it takes an effort to do that. It is hard to do that. It is difficult to do that. But if you do that, there will be results, because if you think spiritual thoughts, if your mindset is spiritual, life results. If your mindset is fleshly, death results. It'll keep you from sin. Psalms 119:11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Now, I want you to think about it. What does the word heart in that verse mean? In fact, I can't prove this, but I don't, and I'm a literalist. I believe the Bible, you ought to interpret the Bible literally. Literally means what it says, says what it means. Just believe that. But there is figurative language there, and I don't think I have ever found in the Bible the word heart meaning my physical heart. It may be there. If you know where it is, tell me, because I've been looking for that. That the word heart is used to mean the physical heart. Every time I think it means my mind. Now, when it talks about a heart, don't ask Zach what it really says in the Greek. This is not Greek, this is English. I mean, this is Hebrew, but when it talks about the heart in the New Testament, it got a whole different word. But anyway, you don't want to know what it means in Greek in the heart. But the fact of it is, what he's talking about is, your word I have treasured in where? My heart. Why? So that I won't sin against God. So part of the process of fighting sin is putting God's word in my mind and in my heart to start with. I need to get it there before I face the temptations. I flip-flop trying to, sometimes I try to get people to memorize scripture, and sometimes I give up and say, they don't need, nobody does it anyway. But during the times that I'm trying to get people to memorize scripture, I tell a little joke and say, don't ever memorize scripture. Don't ever memorize a Bible verse about your favorite sin. Don't ever memorize a Bible verse about your favorite sin, because it'll ruin it. I mean, it takes all the fun out of it. When you're involved in committing that sin, what happens to your mind? The verse comes back. And I think that's what he's talking about here. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. This sin comes easy. The treasuring God's word in your heart is difficult. It's always difficult. We can sit down and look at a 30-minute TV program or hour TV program or listen at music for 2 hours. I ask you to read your Bible 30 minutes a day, and most of you just go nuts. Most of you would say, are you crazy? You have lost your mind. Have you ever tried to sit down and said, okay, I'm going to read here. I'm just going to start the first verse in this book, and I'm going to read for 30 minutes. You ever try to do that? How many of you ever just said, I'm going to look at this TV program? Don't even think about it, it's 30 minutes. oh, I'm going to read this book that I like. Sometimes I get reading a book that I like. I can read for an hour and a half and don't know where the time went. Ever happened to you? Some of you don't like to read, so I can't believe that, but that happens sometimes. But for some reason, Satan is always there to prevent you from reading this. Always. It's always difficult. It's always tough. I have the Bible recorded, and I play it in my car, in my truck, wherever. And when I first started that, it used to give me the headache. Honestly did. It just bothered me. It took me a long time to learn how to do that. Now, because I like country music, and now country music is no longer country music. Some of you have any idea what I'm talking about? The stuff I like, they don't play that anymore. You can't find that on the radio anymore. They've changed like everything else, and I don't like modern country music. And you get kind of tired of listening to the old country music over and over. So I play the Bible, and just listen at it as I ride, as I drive, and it's a great way to do that. Just remember it. Psalms 1:1-3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates. What does meditate mean? Think about it. He meditates how often? Day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. In the good times, it doesn't make any difference if the tree is planted by the streams of water or just out in the field. If it rains often, they all produce. Right? But when the tough times, when the dry times come, the tree is close to the stream of water, its roots can get moisture from the stream, and it continues to produce. So he uses this illustration of a tree that can produce in the good times and in the bad times, and he says the way you do that spiritually is you don't listen to the world's advice. Right? Don't listen to the world's advice. Instead, you meditate day and night on the Word of God. You think about it. You think about it. Now, I want to close with a personal illustration, although I realize that it's not always good to use personal illustrations. But how many of you have ever taken the course I teach on personalities, the different personalities, sanguine, choleric, and phlegmatic and melancholy? Okay. I am a strong melancholy personality. Therefore, my nature, just my ordinary nature that I was born with, who I am, I am a melancholy. Therefore, a melancholy wants everything to be perfect. Do you know how many things in this world are perfect? Absolutely not one. And so if I want everything to be perfect, in other words, when I drive my truck, I want it to be perfect. When I drive my car, I don't want it to ever break down. My house, I don't want the chimney to rot and fall off, and I had to hire somebody and pay them to put the chimney back on, which is what I've done this week. Well, I ain't paid them yet, have I? But anyway, I don't want any of that. I want everything to be perfect. Since it is not perfect, you know what happens to me? I get depressed. I can have the best pity party you have ever attended. I mean, I can have a good time just feeling sorry for myself. Nobody loves me. And even worse, nobody cares that nobody loves me. You know? And so I can just get myself in a corner and just think how terrible it is. The whole world is just terrible. We've got election going on. You know what I get depressed about? There's not one of them I want to be my president. Not one of them. I mean, not just the two we're going to end up with. I didn't even like any of them, the whole bunch. You know? And so I get to, who am I going to vote for? I believe you ought to vote. Who am I going to vote for? There ain't 10 cents worth of difference in the whole crowd. So I get depressed. I don't know what to do about that. You know? I look at the church numbers. I get depressed. You know, I want to read through the Bible myself. I was reading last week. I read 1.5 chapters one day and stopped myself and said, I don't have a clue what I just read. Ever happened to you? And I get depressed. I just wasted all this time. I was reading Scripture. I was reading God's Word, and I wasn't paying attention to what I was reading. I was reading the words, but I wasn't paying attention. I get depressed. So a number of years ago, I decided that since this is my personality, and it was given to me, I was born with it, I did not choose it. I would have chosen, had I chosen, I would have wanted to be a choleric melancholy. This choleric's in charge, and the melancholy does it right. That's what I would like to be in. But I'm not. I'm not that. So, in dealing with my tendency to get depressed and get discouraged and all that kind of stuff, I memorized verses of Scripture. And I want to share with you just 3 or 4 of those verses that I memorized. And every time I have a temptation to get depressed, these verses come to mind. One of them says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do you know how often a melancholy rejoices? You just don't do that. There's nothing to be happy about because everything's wrong. Nothing's perfect. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Then the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Somebody wants to finish that. In the peace of God. But the part I want you to notice is be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What I would worry about, I'm not to worry about it. I'm to pray about it. And when I pray about it, I'm to pray about it with thanksgiving. That's what it says. Let me tell you another verse. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Because I want to do it perfect, I have never done anything perfect in my entire life. Therefore, I get discouraged. No need to try. I can't do it right no way. Let me tell you another verse. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, there are just 3 or 4 verses that I memorize personally that has to do with my own personality. Whatever personality you have, there are verses for you. And you know, and I learned when somebody asks me how I'm doing, they really don't want to know. I've tried it. I try to tell them, and some of them have just walked away while I was talking. And I want to say, why did you ask me if you don't want to know? So now, what do I say? If you ask me how I'm doing, what do I tell you? I can't complain. And I can even back that up, because whenever I get ready to complain, I can always look around and find somebody that's got it much worse than I got. Anytime. So I try not to complain. Don't tell my wife I don't complain. She doesn't know it. But what I want to talk about today, your thoughts can change your life. Your thoughts can change your life. I don't tell you it's easy. It is not easy. It is difficult. It is difficult when you want to go to the pity party. Instead of going to the pity party, you say, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. That's difficult to do that. It's difficult when you want to talk about what's wrong and you intentionally make yourself talk about what's right. But I believe with all of my heart that I should not be conformed to the world, but I should be transformed. How can I be transformed? By the renewing of my mind. I need to change what I think about.